Live from NPR News, I'm Korva Coleman. The U.S. has surpassed a new milestone in the pandemic. More than 250,000 people have perished of COVID-19 in the U.S. That's according to Johns Hopkins University. More than 11.5 million people here have been infected with the coronavirus. New York City public schools are closed today for in-person instruction. Students are shifting to all remote learning. NPR's Anya Kamenetz reports this is part of a national trend of school closures due to the accelerating pandemic.
New York City has hit a 3% average positivity rate on coronavirus tests. That's the benchmark Mayor Bill de Blasio had previously set for closing all public schools. An estimated 300,000 students who had previously been coming in a few days a week will be learning from home for the foreseeable future. While over half of districts in the country had been offering at least some in-person learning, that number is shifting rapidly as cases surge nationwide. Detroit public schools recently closed their doors, as did Des Moines, Iowa, Toledo, Ohio, Oklahoma City, many parts of Colorado, and the entire state of Kentucky. Anya Kamenetz, NPR News.
President Trump and his campaign continue to falsely claim that he won the election and that there was rampant fraud. From member station WLVR in Allentown, Pennsylvania, Tyler Pratt reports election watchdog groups are now warning about threats to election workers.
Watchdog group Common Cause says there are reports of at least one election worker in Georgia having personal information released. Suzanne Almeida is with Common Cause and says some election workers have received death threats.
To threaten bodily harm or to threaten any sort of harm to these people who have been really working around the clock, I think is deeply disturbing and does not say good things about the state of our democracy right now.
The Pennsylvania Department of State is calling for all government officials to denounce the threats and that they'll be met with criminal investigations. For NPR News, I'm Tyler Pratt in Allentown.
The state of Georgia completed its hand recount of about 5 million ballots cast in the presidential election. Georgia's Secretary of State will release those official results today. Some new votes have been discovered, but the results still show that President-elect Joe Biden won narrowly over President Trump. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo continues his trip to the Middle East. Today, he is in Jerusalem, and he has declared a pro-Palestinian movement to boycott Israel to be anti-Semitic. NPR's Daniel Estrin is in Jerusalem and has more.
Pompeo says the U.S. will cut off government funds to groups that support an Israel boycott, calling it anti-Semitic. Boycott proponents reject that accusation and say they're protesting Israel's policies toward Palestinians. Dozens of U.S. state legislatures have passed laws in recent years against boycotting Israel.
NPR's Daniel Estrin. It's NPR. Officials in Australia have released findings from an investigation into potential war crimes committed by Australian troops in Afghanistan. Officials are recommending that 19 current and former soldiers be referred for criminal prosecution for the suspected killing of 39 Afghans. Australia's defense minister says some of the killings were done by junior special forces at the order of their seniors. This week, the Cherokee Nation received more than $4 million from the National Institutes of Health to increase coronavirus prevention efforts. The tribal lands are within Oklahoma, and headquarters are in the city of Tahlequah. From member station KOSU, Allison Herrera reports.
Cherokee Nation will use the $4.1 million to expand testing, contact tracing, and education in underserved and rural areas. Principal Chief Chuck Hoskin Jr. implemented a mask mandate for all nation facilities and has implored the governor of Oklahoma to do the same. More than 4,500 cases of COVID-19 have been reported on the Cherokee Nation. On Monday, Cherokee health officials reported their ICU unit at W.W. Hastings Hospital in Tahlequah was at capacity with coronavirus patients. For NPR News, I'm Allison Herrera.
People who were forced to flee a wildfire in a neighborhood of Reno, Nevada, have started returning home. About 1,000 people had to leave for safety, including the mayor of Reno. The fire has been partly contained. At least 5 homes have been destroyed. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News.